This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and Sawinski.
We have a fight.
With Mike Schopen the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
Sneaky Joe there to help us with a thing. Earlier he was listening. We were talking about the Sabres schedule and Washington's visit in early January. Joe had the numbers because there was no other way to find out. Ovechkin is 41 goals away from Gretzky, and that would make him 42 away from breaking the goals record. Could it happen this year? Yes, will not happen by January 6th.
No.
Probably not.
No. And he had a tough start to last year and then got pretty hot, I think.
Joe?
As they pushed into the playoffs. Joe and Ovechkin both, actually, I would say that about.
I think that's right.
Joe has no trouble hearing that. He owns that.
He does. Paul Hamilton with us now on the West Her Hotline. Paul, I think this is probably obvious, but good motivating factor for the Sabres tomorrow. Win, and we're first overall in the league.
There you go.
What do you think about that? Put that on the table.
Yeah. My naturopathic doctor is a big Leafs fan. I says, do you realize by Saturday your team will be in at least second place and maybe third in the conference? And they won't. Well, in 90.
Did you trick them? Did you fall for it?
It's true.
You know, Toronto is the favorite going into this year. Does that seem right? I don't know how much time you guys have spent on what's going on around the Sabres. Probably more than me. But
the favorite for what, the division?
Yes.
Ahead of Florida.
I think so.
Wow. That almost, I want to say, shocks me.
I will check that.
Not that I'm down on Toronto.
Unless Joe texts me first.
I don't doubt you, but I don't know what they're thinking, whoever's making them.
Yeah, what is the story with Florida might be, what? They've been to the finals 2 years in a row, so they're going to be tired.
All right, hang on. I thought I saw this.
Okay, well, we're giving you time. Well,
they've lost Montour.
It's very close.
He had 8 goals and 25 assists last year. He did not even have close to the year he had. And they still have Tkachuk, Reinhart, Barkov, Verhaeghe, Bennett, Lindell, Forsling, Eklund, Bobrovsky. They lost one guy.
Yeah. Florida plus 225, Toronto plus 270 at BetMGM. I bet you could find the Leafs as a favorite, but here they're the second choice, but it's close.
And the Leafs ran it back like they do every year. And, you know, they don't have Samsonov and goal anymore. It's Wolin Stolarz.
Right.
I don't know. Is that better? Are you better on defense with Ekman Larson and Tanev?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, a little bit maybe with Tanev. Right. I'm not a big Ekman Larson fan, but Tanev, yeah. That was their problem, goaltending and defense.
If he can hold up. Yeah, you know, it was stark to me watching them in the playoffs last spring, Paul, and thinking, like, for as high-level a contending team as they've been, and with so many teams that have these, like, really high-end, number-one-type defensemen, like, Morgan Riley's a nice player. He's never been that guy. And, like, their decor for, a high-level contending-type team, it's just not that impressive.
Yeah, if Morgan Riley's on your second pair, you're good.
Yeah.
Not your best defenseman.
Right.
You know?
So, I like the kid goalie, but he's had trouble staying healthy. So whether he can, you know, like, really do it for them is a big question. But, like, his demeanor, everything about him coming up, I felt like this is going to be their guy, Wall. But he has not been able to deliver yet because, really, the opportunity was there for him last year, and he just couldn't get there.
Good goalie name.
Yeah, it's a great goalie name.
Even if it is an O and not an A, Wall is a great goalie name.
Right.
All right, Paul, how do you feel about this thing as we get going tomorrow? Sabres and Devils, 1 o'clock from Prague. You know, here's to a great season. What are a couple of your expectations?
Well, I do think they're an improved team. I think if the goaltending is the same or better, and I expect Lucan and Still to get better, you know, in mm-hmm. some ways. You know, I think, you know, I've seen every indication that the way they play with the intensity that they play with is going to stick, at least for a while. I didn't really see it slip hardly at all in the preseason or in practices. They really seem to have bought into it. And, you know, you look at their team and say, well, they've had a talented team. The young players that they have in the core are supposed to be good guys. Why have they not been better? And, you know, they had the one good year and almost made the playoffs, and then they all regressed. Well, that coach is gone now. Now they have some stability in their defensive zone. They have a purpose now of, all right, this is the way we're going to play. And they're buying into it and embracing it. So, and I think it makes those young players better. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Thompson gets back to mid-40s as far as goals go, or even in the 50 category. I think the coaching will help. I think the fact that they have a plan on defense will help. I think the fact that there are consequences, if you're not going to do it Lindy Ruff's way, there are going to be consequences. I never liked the fact that Granato's philosophy of that. I disagreed with it wholeheartedly. There have to be consequences. And that's the thing. It would just keep happening over and over again to a point he'd be standing at the podium. He didn't know what to say anymore.
Yeah. It got tough there. It really did. Yeah. Like by really the new year last year, like, you know, after the holidays, it was just, what are we doing here? And then, you know, we come to I did not know this when it was first said by Oposo, but at some point after they won the cup, I think it was after they won, or maybe it was just after he got traded. I don't know.
It was before they won the cup.
Okay. The like October, November, we didn't have it. Like, geez. Like, I mean, what are we doing here?
Something wasn't right.
Yeah, man, that is just tough. That's tough. You know.
You know what a captain could do in that situation?
Something.
Say it out loud.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like,
he's not gonna go after his coach.
Well, I know. I mean,
he knew what was wrong. I've had people tell me. I've had people who have left the organization because they knew it was not going to work.
Well, the word for me is leadership. Right, like it's not something that feels good, but yeah. Look, I mean, that's part of your role here, isn't it? Is to sort of be,
yeah,
it's kind of.
I don't remember too many captains going after their coach.
It doesn't have to be framed as going after the coach. It can just be sort of like a little bit more honest appraisal of what is happening, whether it's the players too or the organization. Yeah. I know it's not common. I'm just saying it wouldn't be unprecedented or, you know, that shocking.
What bothers me more, we could have worked within that. What bothers me more is that people within the organization knew it wasn't working and they didn't do anything about it. they just let it go. That is the thing that kills me about it. Because if Oposo knew, I'd have to think Granato knew, Adams knew, like other people would have known. We got a problem here, and they just let it. Just let it go, and that's not okay. In Granato's defense, like he came in as their pal, right? There's no expectations. We're just here to see how good we can all be, and all that, and like that was the correct vibe at the time. So I'm not criticizing him for being that way, but I always wondered, can he be the other way when he needs to? And I don't think he could. People can have a hard time dealing with someone in a leadership position who suddenly is treating them differently. It just is hard. Whereas Ruff walks in and he's got the six shooters in the holsters, and like he's all mounted up as this tough guy that's going to hold everyone accountable. And so that's your expectation. You're not wondering, hey, why is this guy not being nice to me anymore all the time? That maybe will work. For them here. I certainly hope so. I think everyone is hoping so.
Yeah, I think that was just Granato's philosophy. He felt that if you're constantly, if players are worried about being pulled out of the lineup because they make a mistake and things like that, or they aren't playing the way they should and they have to worry about that, then then they're not going to be able to play freely.
Yeah.
So that was his philosophy on things, and I don't agree with it. I just never did. I've said it then. I say it now. I just fully believe there have to be consequences when you're not playing the game the way you're supposed to.
So with all of this, you know, in consideration here, how much of last year from Thompson specifically do you think was injury related?
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul, I mean, because we got this morale stamp, this thing here, you know, everybody knew it wasn't working or whatever, and that can affect guys in their performance, certainly. But I feel like Thompson, almost the whole year, I feel like we were, oh, the wrist, oh, this, oh, that, like he'd come back and he'd be sitting out for parts of periods. Like, was it kind of a lost year injury wise from him?
It was. He came back too early. There's no question, because that's the kind of competitor he is. He wants to be there to help his team. But he came back too early, plus power play. I mean, just he went from 20 power play goals to, what was it, 9 or something like that?
Yeah.
That's 11 goals right there. You know, that takes you from 29 to 40 if your power play is the same. And, you know, so the reduced power play, the fact that it was okay for Granato that they would just continue to sit there and try to feed Thompson, even though it was being taken away from him. And Granato was okay with that, I guess, because he never changed anything, or if he tried to, they didn't change it on the power play.
Yeah.
They still kept trying to feed him, and it just wasn't working, and their power play went right down the tubes.
Well, I'm really like Peterka up on that line. I mean, he has driven play and generated opportunities almost since he got here, really. And I think that line, I would expect Thompson, if he can be healthy, to really bounce back, because I think they are going to have a lot of opportunities. I think that line is pretty hot.
I agree. I think Thompson is a consistent 45 to 50 goal scorer. I think he's closer to a 45 goal scorer than he is a 29 goal scorer. And I agree. I think with the way they, and I think he has to examine his game, and he's talked about it himself, that he needs to be better in aspects of the game, like making sure he tracks back better, because that's going to lead to more offense. Why? Because they're going to have the puck more. They all track back on defense better, that they will have more offense because they'll have the puck instead of sitting there getting caught in their own end or getting caught on a bad breakout because they're not together, or, you know, having no structure in the defensive zone. And it only makes sense that if you have some structure and you work hard to track back and get the puck, off you go. And where are you going to be? In the offensive zone. Where are goals scored? In the offensive zone. The whole thing makes sense, but he's got to be better in the way he plays, because I don't think he was hard enough in getting back and you know, sometimes. I think there are times where maybe he needed to be placed on the bench with he just didn't look hard enough.
Yeah. He Thompson was not the only centerman who obviously struggled on this team last year and whose production dipped very precipitously. Cousins had a very rough year too, mm-hmm. in that department. I was reading today, I think it might have been Matthew Fairburn, he's put on like muscle, right? Like he's maybe a somewhat different body than he was when he last
we talked about that just when training camp opened, how much bigger he is and how much work he put into it. He, you know, I remember talking to him about it, that he's definitely in the best shape of his life. You know, with the work that he put in the off season, because, you know, he just absolutely felt last year was unacceptable for him. And, you know, Lindy Ruff has talked about too, that, you know, one of the biggest things he's trying to, you know, Cousins would find himself on the wrong side of the puck in the defensive zone. And then again, it would be chaos. That is one big thing that Lindy Ruff is working with him on, because he believes that Cousins can be an excellent two-way center. you know, maybe not as good as Bergeron was, but he said in that kind of a that kind of a player. He believes Cousins can be that type of a player, but he needs to work on, you know, as he said, getting on the right side of the puck when he's in the defensive zone.
Any thoughts on the Devils, who are a pretty solid favorite tomorrow, minus 150 in the opener? The Sabres finished with more points last year than Jersey did, off the year that Jersey had prior, which was outstanding. Lindy Ruff behind the bench, but last year he doesn't make it out of the season. It looks like the, you know, bettors are a little bit more impressed with Jersey going in to the season than us.
I don't know why. I mean, yes. I mean, they have the high-end young players, Jack Hughes, Hischier, you know, Luke Hughes, you know, those Dawson Mercer, I think, is a very good player. So they have the, you know, the high-end younger talent on the team. They've mixed it in with Timo Meier. Now, last year he did have 28 goals, but there are times that I forgot about Bratt, too. I didn't mention him, who was actually the leading scorer last year.
And Luke Hughes, I think, is hurt to start the year. But anyway,
yes, Luke Hughes will not be playing.
Yeah.
Now, Jake Allen, of course, got traded before the season was over. So, you know, and they wound up with him in goal. So now how much does Jake Allen help them? You know, as far as goaltending goes, you know, is that going to, you know, is he 33 years old or something like that? I mean, so how much, 34 years old. So how much does Jake Allen help them going into the season as far as in goal? So I guess I think both teams have younger talent, but I would scratch my head a little bit why the Devils would be an overwhelming favorite.
Well, Markstrom might be the big reason they're in goal. Like, he, that was a big offseason move for them to get him. To Jacob Markstrom, so he and Allen, that, you know, that Markstrom, you can go either way on him, but I mean he's what was thought to be an upgrade for them, I think. So
he's had good years. I'm not sure last year was one of them.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, for Calgary, he was a really good goalie for a bit there, but I'm looking up his numbers last year, 905 save percentage, 278
not
goals
great,
against,
right?
Nah. You know, I'm not real thrilled. You will go back a couple of years ago, though. He had a 922 save percentage in 63 games, so he was certainly capable a couple of years ago for them in goal.
All right, Paul. Welcome to goaltending.
Right. Yep. We got to run. We'll, I don't know, tomorrow's going to be crazy with the, I know you're working all, you know, morning and through the game and everything, and our show doesn't start till after postgame, so I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we'll certainly be looking forward to spending more quality time with you now that hockey season is actually here.
Looking forward to it, guys. Take care.
All right, Paul. Paul's reports here on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Now, it's a little bit weird for me to say it, Mike Shope's Fresh Picks. That's what it says. I'm Mike. This is how we do it. Brought to you by Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet. Follow them on Facebook for their grand opening date. Tried to make a habit of one game pick, one futures-minded pick, and then one little bit of fantasy advice. I mentioned earlier, I like Bills Texans over 47.5 points. I think both teams are situated well offensively in this game. Injuries to the Bills defense again, and a lot of talent on Houston. I'd expect the Bills offense to bounce back. And there might be a predisposition with all the narratives this so far this year in the NFL to think that, you know, everywhere scoring is coming down. But I do like that game over. Nico Collins is a short plus 200 to lead the NFL this year in receiving yards. Not this week, but for the entire season. He's already ahead by more than 100. If you know from listening to Bulldog and I Talk, to whatever extent we bet this stuff, for me, it's not that often. No, we don't ever want the favorite. The favorite is boring.
Yeah,
it just doesn't pay well enough, and there's too much randomness in this for me to think Nico Collins is just going to sail to the receiving yards total. So in that category, he's top 10, but near the bottom of that right now, is Ja'Marr Chase at 9-1. I mean, he's one of the three or four best in the league. And if their defense is bad and Burrow and Chase are on the field, that could set up beautifully for him in terms of numbers. So I would look at that. I mean, it's 9-1. It's not supposed to happen, but you've got a great player in probably a really good situation with a really good quarterback. And then in fantasy, we also touched on this briefly. I guess maybe these aren't the freshest. A couple of these picks we mentioned earlier, but I am not starting Kyle Pitts tonight. I know how it feels when you make a move like that. He was a relatively high draft pick, and it doesn't feel good to sit him for, like, Colby Parkinson or somebody. But you'll feel better if he goes off in this game, which would be stunning, on your bench, than you will starting him reluctantly because you think you have to. And he duds again. Last week, zeros. He just doesn't look good.
He's on our bench.
I'd rather start Cade Otton in this game, the Tampa tight end, than Pitts. I would start Komet over him against Carolina. I would start Conklin over him against the Vikings, formerly played for the Vikings, now with the Jets. I would easily start Hunter Henry over him against Miami. Parkinson, I mentioned, with the Rams. I can live with it if Pitts has a good week. You want it. And then you have more of an opportunity in the future to start him, but I'm not forcing him into this game just because I thought 3 years ago he would be a great player. We talked to Joe Ostrowski with tonight's game in mind, week 5 in the NFL. That's next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.